Good morning. Wonderful to be here gathered as a group of people dedicated to God's Word. And that's what we sang about so much already this morning. God's Word that speaks to us, tells us about who He is. And I am just, I'm a part of this only in a minor way when we consider what we've already thought about, what we've already remembered, and you are a part of. Before I begin the lesson, I wanted to again remind everybody of a new thing that we've tried starting last month. But here's the deal. If you have the YouVersion app on your phone, okay, so I'm going to go through this again real quick. Your phone doesn't exactly look like that. I did this last time, you know. That's actually my phone, although your phone may have come with that as the stock photo. It's that beautiful. I tend not to put the icons right over Shauna's face. I move them around. I'll cover my own, but that's us on that wonderful day. So anyway, the Bible app, if you have that, and you go into that, it'll open up just like this, and you go down to the More menu, and then to Events. And what this will show you is a list of, we'll appear there today or whenever we're having these worship times. Our church will appear there. And this is a free service that YouVersion offers churches. So anybody sitting out in the neighborhood, I think it's like a 10-mile radius, can search on this app and see, oh, there's a church. And it meets on Abers Creek Road. And this is what they're going to talk about today. It's going to go through the sermon and whatnot. But not only that, you can put in your own notes. It'll have the main points of the sermon. It'll have some scripture there. So it's a free resource. If you want to use it, go for it. If you want to point other people to it, then that's available too. So it's a good thing. It's a wonderful time to be a Christian, isn't it? Every once in a while, I'm just reminded of that, of how much is not just available to us, but is free. It's that's a wonderful word when it comes to ministry. You know, there's a lot of things that cost a lot of money. This does not. So before we begin the lesson, let's go to the Father in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you that you speak to us, that you reveal yourself through your truth, through your word, and we are changed in our hearts when we take it in. We pray that that would happen, Lord, even as we study this morning, as we think about what your Son tells us and what he teaches us. Help us to be open as he teaches us how to pray as one of your disciples. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This sermon series has been just a wonderful blessing. We're really coming to the last 2 weeks of it. Lord, teach us to pray is the idea, that through the words of Jesus himself, we can get a better understanding of what prayer is, what prayer ought to be, and how he'll challenge us sometimes. And today is going to be a very interesting challenge. I want to start today's idea by sort of going over the context of what our main scripture is. And we're going to have to go back a chapter. So we're going to start in John chapter 14. I'm going to read some things that Jesus says and then make some sort of bullet points about what he says and then put all those bullet points together to see if there's a main theme here. And there will be, you'll see. So let's start reading together. Jesus answered him. This is when they're having a back and forth about what is about to happen. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Now, if you've been here at Holiday Park for any time when Earl was preaching, this scripture would come up. This is one of Earl's favorites. Verse 23, where Jesus says, the promise is that the Father and the Son will come and make their home with you when you are a follower of his, which is beautiful. But let's just make some points here. We are to keep Jesus' word. That's going to come up several times. So let's just put up there as a point. We're to keep it. We receive it, but it's not just in the receiving, it's in the keeping of it that all these promises unfold. The Father and Son, as I said, will make their home with us. And Jesus' word is the Father's word. You know, Jesus makes this point over and over again in John, but he says, look, the words I spoke to you, don't even think of them as my words. you know, 2,000 years later, well, of course, it's Jesus' words. We put them in red, and of course. But Jesus is saying, but they're from the Father, and they always were. So when we talk about words from God, you know, Jesus' words are the words from the Father. So the next passage I want to look at is the follow-on to that. These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So now we have a continuation here of the same idea. The Holy Spirit is now promised as our helper. And that word is that beautiful word, you know, the paraclete, the parakletos, the one who will come and stand next to you. The best example we have of this is like a defense attorney, somebody who is going to plead your case, who's going to advocate for you, and certainly comfort and help you, be that person you can lean on in those times. He's going to come. And the Father and Son, I'm sorry, the Father sends the Spirit in Jesus' name. I was going over this, and I said to Abigail, because she just happened to be in the room at the time, I said, I just read something profound, something, you know, that I've read before. But Jesus actually says in verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. What a bold thing to say. I mean, if Jesus is just a nice teacher, just a regular old guy who's, you know, a regular rabbi, just like everybody else, he would never make a claim like this. That the Father, God, sends the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. This is profound stuff. This is high theology. This is a glimpse into who Jesus really is. And he is, you know, God the Son. And this is all three persons of the Trinity working on our behalf. Okay? But he's sent in Jesus' name. Jesus cannot be just a regular teacher. That's impossible when you actually listen to Jesus. Okay, can I make that point? Point made. Moving on. The Spirit then will teach and remind us of Jesus' words. All of this is just what I'm gathering from this passage here. Okay, I'm going to put it all together after I read one last thing, which is in chapter 15. Okay, and this is where we're going to get to the context of what is the theme scripture for today. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. He continues. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So in this last section here, we have these points. We are to abide in Christ and bear fruit. We already said earlier, and I'm going to put that bullet point on there, that we are supposed to keep his words. And he sort of adds to, we're to abide in him and bear fruit. Jesus' words abide in us. And we are to ask for whatever we wish, and it will be done if those things are true. So all of this is sort of the points that we gather just from these passages in the last few slides. This is Jesus' teaching. As it goes through here, I think we can start to see an emphasis that Jesus is placing on this interaction between the Father, the Son, the Spirit, the words that come from the Father, the words that Jesus spoke that were not his own. And the way I see it is this. I'm going to sort of try to show this visually in a sort of graphic. So between us and God, we first have the movement of the Holy Spirit, who's reminding us of God's words. Now, I just did a shorthand there. Jesus says he'll remind you of my words, but he already said my words are the Father's words. So, you know, it's God's words. So that's what the Holy Spirit's doing for us, you know, showing us his word, reminding us of what we find in this amazing book. Then we have, on our part, what Jesus says. We're going to keep his word. We're going to abide in Christ. And we're going to bear fruit. We're going to go out and we're going to do the things that Jesus told us to do. And that work is going to be blessed. If those things are happening, well then we go to the Father in prayer in Jesus' name. And he says, go ahead and ask. And it's going to be granted to you. And when I look at this, I think this is just an amazing process that he's laying out for us, for his, certainly for his apostles at the time when he's speaking to them, but for us as well. It's a comfort. It's saying, yes, you're speaking to me right now face to face, but as I leave, and you're going to be scattered, you're going to be confused, but take heart. There's going to be still this interaction going on. And in fact, when we look at God's word in prayer, the word that comes to mind is this is a conversation. We speak to God in prayer. That's what we've always, we've been talking about that for weeks. But when we add these other elements where the Holy Spirit is going to be showing us God's word, pointing it out to us, reminding us of what Jesus said. Jesus says, God's going to be speaking to you in that direction. And then you're going to be speaking to the Father. And it's all going to be in this beautiful harmony. It's going to be a conversation. All of this, all of that we just read, all those bullet points, and then this whole big, beautiful graphic that I was so proud of when I was putting it together, is summed up in two sentences by this guy. I pray, I speak to my Father. I read, my Father speaks to me. I read that and I said, well, I could have just put that on the screen, right? But that comes from Andrew Murray's book, With Christ in the School of Prayer, which I wanted to show you because this has been probably one of the main sources I kept going back to as we look at letting Jesus teach us about prayer. But it's summed up so well. I pray and I speak to God, but don't we often think that it's almost like a Shakespearean monologue, that we're talking and I say what I say, but I don't hear a response, and so it's me. And prayer is just me talking to God. And the way this describes it is, well, sure, that's happening, but there's another side to it. God wants to be heard by you. He speaks through His Word. He speaks by the Holy Spirit reminding you of His Word. And that process is a conversation. So that's the conversation that I want to talk about today. God's word and prayer and how it works together. And I believe that is what Jesus is talking about in John chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, well then ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. As I was reading a commentator, he said, if we were perfect in this, now, as soon as anybody says, if we were perfect in this, you could say, okay, so we're not perfect in this. I get that, because human beings, we're just not perfect at pretty much anything, except maybe, causing problems with each other. We're pretty perfect at that. But if we were perfectly taking in and retaining God's word, and we were abiding in Christ, and we were bearing fruit, if we were doing that perfectly, then what Jesus is saying here is, then every word of every prayer would be granted because you would be perfectly in God's will. And you would simply know what to pray for. You would pray exactly in line with what God wanted. And so there would just be a beautiful, connection between all those points in that circle. But of course, we're not perfect. So we gotta get better at it. That's why we're in His school of prayer. That's why we go to Him and say, Lord, like His disciples, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us how to do it better. As Christ held up that ideal, help us to try to live more closely to that ideal. So, the first thing about this conversation, you probably had many conversations in the last week, and you know that this is true. What we say depends on how we've heard. Now, I chose those words carefully. What we say, remember, that's the prayer part. So what we say to God depends on how we have heard Him speaking on the other side through His Word by the Holy Spirit's reminder. The thing is, we, even in human conversation, sometimes don't hear very well. I want to relate to you a story. Now, I was about 12 years old at the time, and my little sister was 4 years old, Jackie. And my mother was telling me something that had happened with my sister Jackie. And 12-year-old boys sometimes have trouble listening for just about any period of time. Right? So she's telling me this story. And it was a cute story, and it was going along. And I don't know what it was. I don't know what pulled my attention. Something did, but I was not listening very well. And what I remembered was, I caught the end of a sentence, and what she said was, and then she ate a giant hot air balloon. And I said, oh, okay. And then I said, wait, what did you say? And the look she gave me was a very mom kind of look. She looked at me with the one raised eyebrow, right? And she said, I knew you weren't listening. So I just thought, what's the most ridiculous thing I could say? And you know, see if he would just say, oh yeah, okay, to that as well. And so I cracked up. We both laughed, actually, because you know, it was ridiculous. You know, just to test, are you really listening? There have been whole commercials based on that, where you know the wife is trying to talk to the husband from the other room, and he said, "Oh yeah, yeah, sure, sure, yeah, sure," you know, and then she ends up saying, "Oh, so he's not listening. So let me just ask whatever I want. Hey, can I get that diamond ring? Yeah, sure, honey. Yeah, go for it. No problem." The problem is human beings don't always listen very well. We don't hear very well. The same is true when it comes to God's Word. And I know what you're saying. Mike, there's a big difference between sitting face-to-face with somebody, having a conversation, and, you know, prayer and God's Word as a conversation. And I agree with you. But God says, look, your focus, your heart, needs to still be there when I'm trying to speak to you. I'm trying to be heard by you. There's a wonderful example in Psalm 119 where the writer is simply letting God know where his focus is. And his focus is on God's Word. Listen to this. In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. So here the psalmist is saying, look, let me tell you, God, I am ready to hear. I'm ready to listen. And when you speak, it's not just going to bounce off. It's not going to be something I forget, you know, in a few moments. I'm going to cherish it. I'm going to meditate on it. I'm going to delight in it. Fix my eyes on your ways. That's not like the distraction conversation that led to the ridiculous hot air balloon, you know, sentence. No, no, no. This is focus. This is, I want to give you my undivided attention, God. In contrast, Psalm 32 has a great image, and then I found a great image that goes right along with it. This is actually a painting. You know, sometimes painters will just paint a scene that's a pastoral, you know, la da 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 da, it'll just be trees and, you know. But this painter said, you know what I want to capture? I want to capture the struggle of getting a mule to do something when a mule doesn't want to do something. That's fantastic. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. This is God speaking through the psalmist. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Don't be like a mule when it comes to my word. When I'm trying to get through to you, don't be stubborn and resist. I love the end there. Because he says, you know, these animals, they don't want to stay near you. Contrast it, right? So the contrast would be, God wants us listening to him and wants God's presence to be near. We want to be near to God. That's the contrast. We're going to be like a dog, you know, the family dog who just wants to keep nuzzling up, you know, to the owner. That's the kind of animal we should be. That's the kind of follower and child of his we should be. The second thing, as I think about this conversation between us and God, as we take in his word and as we come to him in prayer, is this idea. His word leads to him. We get to know God. Now, this is an important distinction. We don't just pick up God's word to know about God. We get to know him. I just finished a book. It's a fantastic, wonderful book, and I've mentioned it before. And in fact, some of you are probably breathing a sigh of relief that I finally finished this biography of John Adams, and I won't be using his life for illustrations for at least a couple weeks. Right. But the thing is, having read this book, I know a lot about John Adams, way more than I ever wanted to know about John Adams. But I could tell you Adams' role in, you know, the Boston Massacre trial. I think I may have mentioned that in a sermon. His role in the Declaration of Independence. They say that if Jefferson was the pen, then Adams was the voice. He's the one who took the Declaration and actually persuaded Congress that this is something that we need to, you know, declare to the world. His part in the war for independence, he didn't fight. He went over to France and to the Netherlands and tried to get it funded. He was trying to get money and trying to get allies in that war. He spent years and years in Europe trying to convince Europe that this fledgling country was worth recognizing and helping. He was a vice president. He was the first vice president, which means if you're the first one, you have to figure out what you're supposed to do. And the answer to that question, what does the vice president do, is still the same today. You do just about nothing. Totally nothing. Although in that time, if you came in second, you were the vice president. What if that was our system today? You know, what if the second person, wow, what a whole different landscape it would be. That would be kind of fun. Let's bring that back just for a little while. That would be fun. And then, of course, his time as president. He was our second president. So I could tell you a lot about him. I could even tell you some very personal things that not a lot of people knew until they started reading his journals and reading his letters. That, for example, his son Charles drank himself to death at a young age in his, you know, late 20s. About the sicknesses in his family that he endured and he watched close loved ones die. I know a lot about him, but I don't know John Adams. That ship has sailed. You can't get to know somebody. I went to his tomb. That's as close as I've been, you know, to John Adams, I guess physically in Massachusetts. But I don't get to know him. Reading the Bible is not like that. Reading the Bible is not taking in, okay, now I know about God. Okay, God is this, God is that, Jesus was this, Jesus was that. There's more to it. There's an invitation that you get to actually know God. That you get to know the one who has claimed you as his father, who has adopted you into the family. You get to know him. For example, it's described in 1 John. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. That is the promise that Christians enjoy. You get to know him. When you take in his word, then, you know, on that side where the Holy Spirit is reminding you of God's word, you are being reminded of this person that you then walk with and talk with through life. You get to share your personal feelings of frustration. You get to experience the joys together with God as you move through life. Coming to know God must be a priority because of a scene like the one I'm about to put on the slide. This is one of the most frightening passages in Scripture. And here's, I think you know why. But this is Matthew chapter 7, part of the Sermon on the Mount, which is full of difficult passages, but this is one of them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then I would declare to them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. I say that's frightening because it's a warning to us. If we only come to know about God and about his Son, then we've only gotten to the vestibule. We've only gotten to the table of contents page of the book. He's inviting us to know him. And on that day, you want him to look and say, I know you. I've walked with you. We've had conversation together as you took in my word and then as you shared your heart with me. I know you. And I know you as one who has accepted that I am your Lord and truly, not just in word, Lord, Lord. Finally, this last bit, and it's really just a challenge to us. Will you keep his words and abide in him? That's the question. That's where it becomes the challenge. Will we take in God's word and keep it, cherish it, treat it like the most precious thing that's come across our sight, that we hold on to it and we don't let it go? We abide in it day by day, year by year. We spend time with God in his word, hearing from him. I want to illustrate this by analogy a little bit. A few months ago, we were in California, and we had the kids with us, and we had a little bit of time. It wasn't a lot of time, so we didn't get the full treatment, but we had a little bit of time to go and visit Pepperdine University. And that's where Shauna and I both graduated from. And my kids had never been there. So we said, okay, we're going to run up the coast and see Pepperdine. And it was really cool, you know, because I was just smiling the whole time. Oh, you know, this is this building, and this is where we would do this. And we told stories and tried to relate. And the kids were nice about it. They're like, okay, Dad, that's nice, that's nice. And I would say, this didn't used to be here. Oh, this is a brand new building. Okay, good, 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 okay. It's good that you teach your children patience, you know, because as you get older, they need it. They need that quality. So we're showing them around. And it didn't get too emotional for me until we went to a place you wouldn't expect. Oh, you went into the chapel and then you got very emotional. And I wish I could tell you that. That's not where. Where we went, where I started to sort of choke up a little bit, of all places, was the cafeteria. Now, hold on. The cafeteria at Pepperdine has been awarded a national award, maybe even international, for having the best view. All right? Because we're facing the wrong way, but the windows on this side, you can see the ocean. All right? So, yeah, it's a pretty nice view. But we got in there, and you know, we're showing them around, that sort of thing. But I started to remember conversations. Conversation is how you get to know somebody. And you see, my sophomore year, junior year, senior year, I didn't spend much time in the cafeteria. Sophomore year, I was overseas. Junior year and senior year, I was in an apartment where I was supposed to be making my own food and saving money, you know, as a result. So it was really freshman year that I spent hour after hour in the cafeteria. And what started happening was I started spending a lot more time with one particular person in the cafeteria. And we became friends. And then we'd be in a group of friends just talking to each other and talking about what we had just studied or what we, you know, what our families were like or what music we loved or the art that we loved. And so sharing our lives together. And we got to know each other. And then we started to become a couple, and then we got married, and it's Shauna. Okay, so there's the end, right? Long story short, I married that woman. But what I realized was I wouldn't even have called that, you know, a special place, you know, a sacred spot. But it was. Because it was at that spot where those conversations started. And then I realized the conversations just kept going. And the meals and the dinners and the times we spent together. You see, it didn't just happen one time. And oh yeah, I remember when I met Shauna Padgett that one time. You see, we formed a connection where we abided together. And we've literally stayed together all those years. And that's the kind of connection Jesus is getting at when he says, I want you to take in my word and keep it and abide in me. And then you ask and it'll be given. It'll be an exchange, a conversation. You'll get to know the heart of God. Take my teaching, keep it, hold on to it. As Proverbs has said, my son, do not forget my teaching, Don't let it just bounce off. Oh yeah, that was one conversation, and okay, that's fine. But let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. You cherish my word. Take it in. Don't let it be something that was a one-time, one-off thing. Let it get in there. Let it be something that you live in day after day. In Deuteronomy, there's this very interesting bit of laws specifically for Israel's king. And I've shared this before, but I want to share it again. This is what the king was supposed to do. When he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself in a book a copy of this law approved by the Levitical priests. So the king of Israel was supposed to sit and by his own hand pick up the pen and write a copy of the law. Okay, that's kind of bizarre, right? That's weird. But here's why. And it shall be with him, and he shall read in it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord, his God, by keeping all the words of this law and these statutes and doing them, that his heart may not be lifted up above his brothers, and that he may not turn aside from the commandment, either to the left, right hand, or to the left, so that he may continue long in his kingdom, he and his children in Israel. The king himself was supposed to take in God's word so that he could be God's king, God's kind of king. And Jesus, very similar verbiage here, saying, you take in my words, and I'm going to start doing amazing things in you. You're going to bear fruit in me because you're connected to the vine. And when you speak to me, it will be granted to you. And so the question is, will you keep his words as now the royal priesthood? Will we take his word as the king was supposed to? And will we abide in him? That's the challenge he gives us today. Will you do that? Will you share the blessings of connecting with God in that way, coming to know him? What we say in prayer, and you can even hear it sometimes when you hear somebody pray. Have they been spending time in God's word? It begins to show itself. God says, that's what I want. I want you to take in my word so that this circle of relationship, this conversation that we have together, will be a blessing to you, and then you will send that light out into the world around you. Maybe today it's not a continuation of the conversation, but just the very beginning that you need to start. He invites you in. He says, I don't want you waiting on the outside. I want you in this relationship. I don't want you to stay out where, you know, you're not sure of your connection to the Father. I want you to be sure. Come and be a part of God's family. Maybe you need to make a commitment to him that says, I'm leaving the stuff that hinders behind. I don't want to be the mule who's resisting God's word. I want to be his child that takes it in and cherishes it. Maybe you need to make that decision today. If so, then don't delay. Come as we stand and sing.